The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan P. Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance or on how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path and so much more. Whatever your financial goals, Nathan has the strategies to get you there. And now here's your host, Nathan P. Ross.
Hi, and welcome to today's show. It's April the 10th, I believe, in the U.S. And as we've said before, as Jimmy Buffett would say, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Well, it's 5 p.m. where you're at. It's 5 a.m. here in the ICT time zone where I'm at. And looking forward to a good show today. We've got a lot of content that's been generated by this week's news regarding the Biden tax plan. I've put together a quick little, the rudiments of a website called BidenTaxMath.com for those of you that might want to follow the articles that I'm going to start accumulating, and actually I'll be talking about in some measure today. It's www.BidenTaxMath.com, and it's just something I threw together late last night for me, and I'll be adding a lot to this, so you might want to bookmark it, and it'll be helpful for doing these shows where maybe you can stream me on a device and at the same time access the web. Let me do my normal disclaimer that in addition to what you just heard on the intro, I want to make sure you understand that, you know, we don't become your tax, legal, real estate, or other professional advisor just because you listen to this radio show, hear a podcast, access a website, submit a contact us request, send and receive an email, or call our office. And you'll know when we commence a client relationship because you will have typically paid me already, and you would have executed our client services engagement letter. Who works with NP Ross CPAs? Typically, our normal client is someone that's perhaps either joined or getting ready to join one of the assorted real estate investment mentor groups around the country. We work with assorted platforms. We're members of assorted platforms, so we understand what you're signing up for, and that's what we try to help you at all times. We try to educate you about the math. We are not going to be the sales folks. We're not going to get into the emotion or the hype that you'll hear on the radio, case study, assorted other events, etc. We like the hype. We like the emotion. It makes people take action. At the end of the day, though, you really need someone that understands the math of what you've just signed up for so that we can assist you in fully exploiting those platforms, and we'll be happy to show you how to move forward and how to present the math to go along with that emotion. And speaking of, the math generally that we're working with is trying to explain to our clients which code section of the Internal Revenue Code you're best suited to operate under, and it's startling the differences in outputs in wealth accumulation, in tax leverage is what I call it, where you're able to save significant amounts of money and use that to invest in real estate. And we don't apologize for the fact that we look at this a lot differently than the folks that interject all the emotion. And all I would tell you is just quite simply, and I'm sure you've thought this many times yourself, if they can do what they say they can, which I think in large measure they can, why wouldn't they want to do it with as much of your capital as you have at the outset instead of perhaps suggesting you should liquidate it under a number of false assumptions or incorrect assumptions? I shouldn't say false. I don't think they're doing it nefariously, or I hope they're not. But at all times, we'll show you how to use all of your money instead of the 60 to 70% perhaps that's left after or if and after you write a check to the IRS to, quote, liberate your retirement funds. No need to do that. If you're hearing this today and you've got your money still in a 401 or an IRA, maybe you've just come through executing a qualified domestic relations order, which is a legal maneuver we have available here in Texas for those that are married spouses and wish to access their 401 funds at the office. And by the way, we'll have a show on this soon with my attorney, I hope I can get him on to give more insight. But suffice it to say, that's a wonderful opportunity for those of you, which is most people that join these platforms, they have money in 401s. Most of America's net worth is tied up in their 401 at the office. And we can show you how you can truly control your money, invest in real estate, and retire or do whatever makes you happy. And you can do that without writing a single dollar or a check for a single dollar to the IRS. And you talk about getting the IRS out of your life. This is the way you do it. It's not by liberating or cashing out your IRA. That simply creates a date every 5 to 7, 8 years, depending on your other facts and circumstances, where you'll have to pay even more money as you liquidate or exit your investments in the multifamily space or single family or whatever it is that you're investing in. My firm, we are, I want to be very clear, we're planners. We're not reporters like most CPAs. And to differentiate, as a planner, we're looking ahead to what you're going to owe in tax next year. If we're talking to you this year for the first time, it's typically already too late to do anything other than report. And I'm not saying we won't report. We will for clients that we take on their planning if you want us to. And again, we don't seek to do it for anyone, but we'll do it if we have to, I guess is the way I would say it. And I'm sure some CPAs that are out there may chuckle at that. But seriously, we're not for the commodity services. We want the services that create high value. And boy, does the self-directed 401 trust strategy that we lead with create a high value. That said, if you're interested in working with us, or if you want to see an illustration of how much value a self-directed 401 trust can create, take a look at the Be A Planner website. It's BEAPLANNER.com, BEAPLANNER.com, and you'll see several things there. You'll see a link at the top. If you'd like to schedule a call with me, just sign up there. Pick your time. I tend to do calls either early in the morning Central Time or late in the evening Central Time, just because I'm 12 hours ahead of you here around the world. It's now my Sunday morning. So in any event, don't charge for those calls. You'll know before we start the clock, so to speak, although we don't bill hourly, but you'll know when you're on the clock in terms of, owing us something, because you would have already paid us, because we'll quote it and we'll show you what it's going to cost, and then you'll pay us and we'll get started. Also on that same site, I've got intake forms. The link is at the top right next to the schedule a call. And I'm happy to process those forms and show you the exact same illustration that you'll find at the bottom of that homepage, where we look at the metrics on a $350,000 401 trust account. And I guess I want to go ahead and just mention a couple things about that, because I want you to understand how extreme the value is between the option that I mentioned earlier, where you just simply liquidate your 401 money versus knowing which code section to execute under. And on a $350,000 account over the next 30 years, the value of you investing the tax that would be due, which is shown to be about $95,000 on that sample illustration, and you can prove this even with a cheap $4 Walmart calculator. Punch in 95,000 times 1.2. The 1.2 represents the 20%, which is kind of the midpoint between what I've seen over the last 20 years that our clients have generated, you know, 10% to 30%, some higher, some less. It's also the numbers I hear bannered about on the various and assorted investor platforms around the country, on the radio, in the case study. And so if you take that 95,000, multiply it by 1.2, by 1.2 again, by 1.2 again, and you go out 30 years, be sitting down, when you look at your calculator, it's going to have a number that's north of $22 million. And that's also shown at the bottom left corner of that one-page illustration as the 2021 deferred tax if it's invested for 30 years. Now, you know, we can quibble over the rate. We can quibble over the frequency. You might have your dollar sitting on the sideline at some point. But the thing we won't quibble about is that mathematically, it's a $22 million decision, or it's $22 million of bad advice when somebody tells you you should liquidate your 401. It's not to say that you still can't retire by doing so, but you won't do it over a very short, compressed time frame. And you'll notice on my illustration, I do show the five-year retirement moniker that I hear so often, and you can retire. If you've defined retirement as $100,000 after tax, and very importantly, you get into the right transactions. Our 20% average is just that. It's an average. Nobody's average. You're going to be actual. And the fact that you're actual means that, you know, you really need probably more than 5 or 6 years to achieve the average. That said, has it happened? Yes. I've seen deals that earned 100% in a year. I mean, those happen. They're always circumstances. They're an anomaly, however. That is not what the average passive investor in multifamily will generate. And we will show you. We will actually ask you, how much money do you have to get started? How do you define after-tax retirement? You tell us, and then we'll show you under the only four options that you have to execute, where you're going to be able to retire when. And in this example, the five-year compounded period gets you the $100,000 after-tax net income over, you know, a five-year period. And you can see that by looking at the chart. I've got a chart number one there that shows you which of those four options gets you to the $100,000 limit. In any event, well, it sounds like we're coming up to the break. So let's come back and we'll get into the Biden tax math, some interesting developments. And for those of you that want to call in, the number is 281-558-5738 or 281-558-KSEV, the voice of Texas.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com, or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross, right here on AM 700 KSEV.
For many years, the Pine Box has been helping families gain insight into the often confusing and extremely expensive task of arranging a loved one's funeral. I have worked with Pine Box in the death of two family members because I know I can trust Chip Beresford at the Pine Box. He's the owner. To be sure that he walks me through that process and that I am prepared for the funeral and that I get the quality I seek without breaking the budget. Because it's a very difficult thing. No one wants to feel like a cheapskate handling a funeral of a loved one. but you also can't afford to go broke either. You know, funerals are statistically the third largest expense in someone's life. The Pine Box sells the same caskets and funeral merchandise that is offered at funeral homes, but at a tremendous savings, and delivery is immediate and free within the Houston area. Stop by one of the three Houston locations or visit their website, thepinebox.com, or call Chip directly at 1-888-PINE-BOX. That's 1-888-PINE-BOX. I trusted them, and you can. The Pine Box.
Want to be a part of the conversation? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV.
Welcome back to the Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross. It is all right, especially if you have a self-directed 401 trust, and even more so now with what appears to be coming with the Joe Biden tax plan, which I want to get into now, because all of a sudden the concept of tax-free income, or even income that doesn't get better yet, it doesn't get reported. And, within the context of 401s and IRAs, the Roth model is what I'm referring to. And I would tell you that if you don't understand how the Roth can affect your retirement savings, you need to. And it's something that we especially like within the context of what we do. And we do have, as part of every 401 trust that we have a client adopt, we have both a pre-tax component and a Roth component. And just to kind of tantalize a bit, once you understand that as a 50-year-old or older self-employed person, that you can contribute up to $63,500 effectively. It's not overtly the Roth. It's what we call a mega backdoor Roth, or a combination of a Roth contribution and the mega conversion. And when you realize you can do that to turbocharge your retirement, all of a sudden foregoing the deduction becomes less of an issue. And especially if you feel like I do, that we are somewhere on the cusp, and you can argue about whether it's going to happen in this administration, whether it happens January 1, 2026, when the 2017 Tax Act sunsets, all the rates come back to where they were, which I don't think it's going to take that long. Mathematically, the year 2030 becomes when we're going to have some major train wrecks in our country's fiscal health. We're already on life support, but at some point out in the 2030 timeline, assuming we don't start using taxes to pay down the deficit as opposed to paying for new social programs, we won't be able to fund even the interest on the debt. And because our discretionary portion of our federal budget is so small that if we keep borrowing at the rate we're borrowing, we're going to use every dollar we collect to pay the the interest on the debt. And if you go to the website that I referenced earlier, the Biden Tax Math, www.bidentaxmath.com, it's just a simple one pager at this point. I've got the link to Truth in Accounting right at the top. Wonderful site. You can see the mission statement. You can understand that what they do is help shine a light on the sad state of affairs with our federal deficit. And if you understand that, each taxpayer's share of the deficit, before we talk about the current $2.3 trillion, and that's kind of a phase one, is $902,000 for each taxpayer, not each man, woman, and child, which you see at times. This is for each taxpayer, and that's unbelievable. And most of that has occurred in our lifetime. Now, I should say my lifetime. I just turned 61 a couple days ago. And maybe if you're a 20-something, that's not a true statement. But I'll tell you what is a true statement, which is of all the money the Fed has ever printed, 40% of it occurred the year 2020. That's striking. And I've heard a lot of people on the radio talk about the Biden tax math, and few of them really identify the hidden tax. Some do. In fact, I've heard some on this station explain that that's a stealth tax, whether you realize it or not, because everything we buy is going to be more expensive. And so, you know, whether it's a overt tax or whether it's the stealth tax, it's going to be more expensive to live in America, bottom line. And, you know, and there's major, major policy implications of the decisions that we're faced with right now. I've read where this $2.3 trillion infrastructure program, a lot of congressmen are saying, well, you know, do we really need to pay for that? Or can we just borrow it? It's like, are you kidding me? You know, that'll put us up over $30 trillion in acknowledged deficit and about, I don't know, anywhere from 145 to 245 in total deficit. And that's trillion, by the way. I'm sorry, 145 trillion to 245, 250 trillion. And that happens because there's many mandates and tax laws that have been, or policy laws and funding endeavors that have been passed, but they're not actually active yet. They're coming. And of course, Congress takes the position, well, we can change the rules. We can raise the full retirement age on Social Security, or we can change this, we can change that. Let me tell you, we're the only developed nation that plays those games on their accounting. You know, everyone else books their liabilities. You book your liabilities. If you're a small business owner, you know exactly what I'm referring to when it comes to generally accepted accounting principles, assuming you're on the accrual basis, and I guess to a limited extent the cash basis. But anyway, so I'm going to dig in on the first article that I want to address, which is the Tax Foundation, and that's going to be the second link you'll see at the top of that page under In the News if you happen to be following me. And you'll see where the tax plan includes payroll tax, individual income tax, estate and gift changes. And, you know, the first one is the payroll, proposed payroll change, where we're going to start taxing earned income above $400,000. And this could come down several ways, but the one that I've heard most frequently floated is that, you know, if you're a high income earner, you're going to pay Social Security just like you do now with Medicare on the first dollar, and it'll go on up. I mean, think about that. If you're making $100 million and you're going to pay, you know, if you're an employee, 0.0765 is your half, although most people making that coming, or a lot of people, I shouldn't say most, would be self-employed, so they'd get to pay the whole thing effectively, even though half of it gets paid by the employer entity. And if you're self-employed, then you pay the totality of the 15.3%. And I guess my only comment is, if you want to be happy about something, be happy that they didn't raise the rate. They've just changed the base, you know, from 100, I think it's 148 this year, if I remember right. I haven't looked lately, and that number is not baked into my memory bank yet. But that's insane when you calculate how much more money. And yet what's sad is that doesn't really do a lot to stabilize Social Security, because as you've probably heard before, you could tax the wealthy 100% and it barely puts a dent in things. And of course, as Margaret Thatcher pointed out years ago, eventually when you're using other people's money, you run out of it. And so then you got big, big problems. The second thing that Biden's plan will do, it's going to revert the top individual tax rate for incomes above 400. This is not necessarily true. He finally copped to the point that that's for a married filing joint. If you're a single person, it's about the $200,000 level that your taxes will go up. Now, whether or not it's this same 37 to 39.6 jump, I'm not sure. But the bottom line is he's admitted now, or they've admitted, that it's not going to apply to the not taxing those under $400,000 will not apply to a single person that's making more than a couple hundred. The tax on long-term capital gains and qualified dividends will go up for those that are over $1 million. It'll be treated as ordinary income. And more importantly, for real estate investors, there will be an elimination of the step-up in basis rules, which we kind of count on for our estate tax planning. And so that, combined with lowering the estate tax lifetime exemption, state and gift tax lifetime exemption, which I think is further down the list, will effectively pull a lot more people into the estate tax calculation, and you know, make it harder, more difficult to you know, allow your heirs to effectively take over your assets that you leave at passing. Let's see. Well, I hear the music now, so I guess we're at a point, good point to take a break. We'll pick up on the Biden tax math when we come back. If you have any calls, again, 281-558-5738, or if you want to email me, you can email me at Nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N, at npross.com. We'll be back with the Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Welcome back to the show, and that statement fits most of my clients. They weren't born with a silver spoon in their mouth. They're not a millionaire's son. So we got to find ways to scrap and claw to get our retirement wealth lined up. And, you know, we're kind of fighting on multiple fronts. It's a double or triple whammy when your tax brackets are getting ready to change, and it's also even more striking when you look at the longevity risk combined with the tax risk, that now the average life expectancy for a male, at least according to IRS tables, is somewhere in the 85 to 86 year old range. And for females, it's 87 or 88. So you not only have to have a high enough money to enjoy retirement, a high enough amount of income. It's not how much you have saved. It's how much you can earn. And by the way, I've heard, you know, assorted parties talk about how, you know, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle, or it's the quality of life, or it's your health. I'm going to tell you right now, money is what gets you there on all those fronts. You know, the average American couple is going to spend $882,000 in retirement on health care. And I know you may scoff at that, but having just been through this with one of my relatives, when you understand what long-term health care costs and what the rules are in terms of having to spend down your assets, if one of the spouses is in the hospital, you suddenly realize that you may, you know, have a bankruptcy issue depending on how long and how much they're there. So we're looking at other options besides just our real estate to provide to offset or mitigate those risks. And we understand that it takes more money than what it takes simply to pay your bills next month. You've got to have some ability to mitigate other risks that are out there, chronic illness, you know, long-term health care. And then you get into the lifestyle type expenses, you know, the vacations for the grandkids, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And we're looking at all that. And again, if you don't think it's the money, I got news for you. It is. And of course, that's why we do this to begin with, even though some may say to the contrary. But back to the Biden plan, I guess the one thing that really accentuates what we do with the self-directed 401 trust is that we're now going to find a situation where 401k plan participation will be the deduction for participating for those that make a higher level of income will be less than what it has been. It's kind of an equalization, if you will, with the lower compensated participants. And you can look at that however you want to look at it. It might be socialistic in a way. I tend to think it is. That said, it doesn't really affect a lot of our clients because we're not doing the pre-tax 401. We're moving to the Roth 401. About, I don't know, it's close to 50% of employers have that option. Now, it's not all of them, certainly, but we put that Roth 401 in every 401 trust that we create at the individual level, the solo K, as it were, that IRA custodians refer to and offer. It's at base, it's the same product as we adopt, but we've put 401 trusts in place that have more features, and including the Roth conversion. In-service distributions, meaning you control your money. You could be 42 years old, and if you're ready to take some of that money out, in fact, you could set up a weekly, monthly, whatever frequency floats your boat. As long as you're ready to pay the tax on that smidgen, you can take it. You have the checkbook. You're the trustee. You decide who, when, where, and how much to invest with. And it very effectively allows you to pay yourself. It's a 401. Let's just say it like that. It's a 401k that pays you. And it's the only type that I advocate you participate in because you control it. You win every vote you take as to what the rules will be that make up your plan from the pre-approved list. Unlike when you work at AT&T or Exxon, where you literally can't get to your money until you're old, like me, or maybe not quite that old. I know a couple of the companies right now have 55-year-old and greater in-service distributions. We don't require a limited age. So, again, you control your money. It's very important to differentiate that from the traditional retirement plans that we do not advocate for. We advocate taking those funds away from the big company plan and putting it into your own self-directed flavor where you're able to control your money. But in any event, what most of our clients, or not most, a lot of our clients will now use the Roth side of the plan because if you're only getting, I mean, even if you were getting a 40% deduction, I still advocate for the Roth because you're talking about paying a tax one time, and then that contribution truly, truly removes the IRS from your life. It's the only one that does. You know, when you cash out your money on the rip the Band-Aid off approach where you send 30% or more of your net worth, depending on, you know, where you live, to the IRS, those dollars are gone. Think of that as an investment to nowhere. The IRS, last time I checked, still pays you how much rate of return? Zero, right? Versus you investing, and in my example, on the BeAPlanner.com website, investing that $95,000 and potentially, depending on the metrics, depending on what you invest in, and again, I'm assuming you're going to invest the same way, whether you pay the tax tomorrow or whether you let your kids worry about paying it, which is what we do, the way we structure it. I assume you're doing this, you're taking the money to get access so you can invest in real estate. And if that's the case, why would you not want every dollar, all the little geese that lay the golden eggs, why would you not want to have significantly more of those than if you pay the IRS? It's just a matter of, again, understanding which section of the code gets you more throughput or more value in terms of your longer term investing. But anyway, the equalization of the 401, that's something easily dealt with. I can make the argument for the Roth every time, and thus far the Roth has not been tampered with too much. Every time there's a tax act, if there's a change, it's usually not applied retroactively. And I would tell you there's about a, anywhere, depending on who you want to believe, there's a 5 to 8 year window to get your Roth conversions done. And I don't know if you heard that thunder. It's got a thunderstorm here very close to me outside the window. Sorry about that. But in any event, something to consider. And, you know, we don't just convert 100% of your pre-tax balance. There's an optimal amount. Your facts are different from every other client we have or every other taxpayer, someone that understands the rules, understands how to project private syndication type cash flow patterns, project your cost of living. It's all part and parcel of us getting you on a plan where you're, by the way, your current year tax bracket is always a big one for us. We want to make sure we take advantage of the bracket bumping if we're able to get taxes paid at today's rate versus what we think they'll be, 5 or 10 or longer down the road. We think that there's probably the likelihood they will double over some period. I don't know if I'm going to say it's 10 years or 15, but bottom line is think about the current tax brackets as being on sale, much like you go to your local HEB or Kroger and they've got your favorite food type, whatever that is, at, 30% off or 50% off. And that's effectively how you need to think about the tax brackets. If you've got money left in the 22% bracket or 24% bracket or lower, we're going to suggest you consider doing a conversion of your existing pre-tax monies, whether that's IRA or whether it's the 401. There's reasons that you want to do the 401 over the IRA. There's differences, as we discussed on last week's show. There's some pretty significant differences between those two vehicles, and the self-directed 401, if you qualify, has a Roth account as part of it that is a bit more flexible on most fronts than the Roth IRA. There's no income limits for one, so that you could make $10 million a year and still qualify to make a Roth 401 contribution, whereas you won't be able to do that with a Roth IRA, or at least not overtly. You can do a backdoor Roth IRA, but that's got a $6,000 or $7,000 limit. Whatever it is this year, it's a peanut compared to the $63,000 level for someone that's 50 years or older with Roth 401. Moving back to the math, the Biden math tax or tax math. The estate and gift tax rules are going to be restored to what you would think of as the 2009 levels instead of the current $11.5 million lifetime credit that each of us have, $22 million or so, $23, I guess. If you're married, it'll drop back down to most likely something in the 3 to 3.5 range, so double that to get your lifetime credit. That'll pull a lot more people into the estate tax calculations. There's assorted, the real estate news is not all bad. I mean, there's a first-time home buyer tax credit that apparently will be part of the go-forward. And I guess for those of you that are flipping homes, and I know that's not real estate investing, but it's a heck of a way to make money in real estate if you understand how to do it, get the right education. The one program I know that does that for you in Houston is the Total Wealth Academy. Steve Davis's platform offers that training. And if you're behind on retirement savings, that's one of the best ways to get caught up. And we marry that with the 401 trust to give you a tax benefit for those that want to do pre-tax. And it's amazing in that it's the only business deduction you'll get where you're not actually writing a check to somebody. You're simply moving it from your left pocket to your right pocket, claiming the deduction. So we've already written it off before you ever send that money to a syndicator to get into a new deal. It's pretty amazing, and it's an excellent way to get caught up. Let's see. Oh, well, here, just in time for the music. We'll talk about some proposed business tax changes next. When we come back, if you'd like to give us a call, do so at 281-558-5738. This is the Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, on KSEV 700, the voice of Texas.
Want to be a part of the conversation? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A, acquisition to E, exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday, 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross on AM 700 KSEV.
Paul Berlin, a radio icon. His unique style and warm personality endeared him to so many, regardless of age. His endless stories and great music will never die. Paul may no longer be with us, but his memory will live on. KSEV is proud to continue with the best of Paul every Saturday evening, 6 till 8 p.m. Paul said it best as he closed his show. We'll meet again on AM 700 KSEV in Heavenly Houston.
Warm, touching warm, reaching out, touching me.
Okay, welcome back to the Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, and we've been talking about the Biden tax math. I've actually got a web page where I'm accumulating some good articles and some bullets that I think are important components of what's coming. And a lot of it doesn't apply to real estate investors, but boy, there's a lot that will. And I didn't really mention, there's not necessarily in this tax act some of the bullseyes are not being hit. But I'll tell you right now, for real estate investors, the 1031 exchange is on the radar to be eliminated during Biden's time in office. The step up in basis looks like it might happen here. Now, understand, this isn't law. This is talk is what this is. But part of the problem we've got is unless we can get some Democrats to stop and think about how devastating this is to not only the country fiscal health as a whole, but specifically to real estate investors, these things have a good likelihood of passing due to the fact that, the threshold's being lowered with the reconciliation process down to, 50%, because you've got the vice president able to cast the tiebreaker. So I would suggest to you that a lot of this will stick. Now, we may get some help from people like Joe Manchin, but, the problem with Manchin is he rarely is there when it counts. He talks a good game. He's got a conservative base in his state. But bottom line is, back up and show me one vote Mr. Manchin has ever cast where it mattered. He's voted where it was convenient, where it didn't really cost him anything. And it's just like now, I've seen he's adamantly against the filibuster. Well, I haven't seen him talk about if he's against bringing two more states into the country, where now there'd be four more senators, which would make the filibuster superfluous, right? Let's see how he would vote on that. And that's the thing that I'm just telling you. I've never seen a situation where Manchin actually voted to at the end of the day. Now, he's rattling the sabers now, and it's already gotten some benefit, so he knows how to work the power angle, just like everybody in Washington seems to, and it doesn't really have a whole lot to do with what's best for you and I. It's what's best for them, and we've proven that time and time again. Okay, so moving on, the corporate tax rates, or at least on this article, it says they're going to go from 21 to 28. I think it was just yesterday several senators said, including Joe Manchin, I believe, that he could support 25. So I don't know that you'll see 28. And frankly, I'm not sure there's much different to at least our clients. We don't do much with corporate taxes because, a corporation, a C corporation or an S corp is not typically the best way to invest in real estate. So this would be more of a management company structure. Perhaps we still like LLCs and maybe an LLC that reports as an S corp. Notably, there's going to be a minimum tax on corporations that book profits of $100 million or higher. Anything you see that says corporate tax, whether it's minimum tax, whether it's income tax, just assume that works its way down to your back pocket. There's no corporation that truly absorbs tax hits. It just doesn't happen. They're going to raise the price of their product or the terms they'll deal with you, and effectively, you're going to cover that. And so when people think of those, big bad corporations, please don't say that when it comes to taxes. I mean, they are big and bad, but they're not going to pay the tax. So you can raise it to whatever you want to. And it's kind of like printing money with the Fed Reserve. It's going to be your tax at the end of the day. There are going to be some credits for small businesses that adopt workplace retirement savings plans. I'm all for that. The more retirement savings you can get, I mean, the average person does not understand what we do about, don't invest in the 401, invest in private placements in real estate. And I guess until you have a way to direct folks that direction, then it's better they have something, because to the extent we can get them off the public dole when they're in retirement, that helps all of us, right? So anyway, there's going to be some expansion of the energy credits, renewable energy credits. I don't know. I mean, I could see arguments for certain of them. Residential energy efficiency. I know, we buy air conditioners for our properties, and it's nice to get that little credit. But at the end of the day, you're paying it back yourself. So you could look at that one of several ways. But in any event, I've just got a few minutes, but I wanted to talk about another article, which is down below this first article from Tax Foundation. And I see where I didn't do a link on it. Okay, I just did the link if you want to go pull that up. Where Biden has options beyond a corporate tax hike to pay for infrastructure as negotiations get underway. Okay, there's the key verbiage, negotiations. And don't forget now that I read about it, we mentioned it on the air 2 or 3 weeks ago, that earmarks are back within Congress, which is a way to kind of incentivize various congressmen from around the country to get on board, because they can direct funds to specific projects in their district, which I would argue they're probably already doing that behind the scenes. And, this just formalizes it, makes it easier to, not haggle over how the dollars are going to be spent. But bottom line is, as Biden tries to get this $2 trillion infrastructure legislation through, there's a number of other things he can turn to. And I know the gas tax has been one that we've talked about. The federal gasoline tax has not been increased in some time. And obviously, who does that affect? You know, if you thought you were immune because you're below the $400,000 threshold, think again. It's kind of hard for a gas station to calculate all the exceptions when you're at the pump, right? So in any event, we understand what that means. That means we're going to pay more tax. So anyway, let's see. What are the other options here? The mileage tax. That would be an interesting option. And then monetization of the U.S. electrical grid. Special bonds. You know, that might not be a bad thing because our electrical grid, especially as we know in Texas, it has some real issues, and I'm not sure exactly what they are, but I'm assuming it involves spending money. And if you're going to do it, you know, capitalism has always relied on independent capital, and so I think that would be a good thing. Let's see here. What other items is on the potential list? Oh, there's a Made in America tax plan that includes hiking the corporate tax rate to 28%. I guess that's part and parcel of the $2.5 trillion tax increase, but it would remove incentives for corporations to send factories and profits offshore. I don't know how effective that is, but there's talk that this $2.5 trillion of tax that could be raised over 15 years, which is a lot of money, but it's a pittance compared to what appears to be on the progressives' agenda. And not only that, it's a rollback of what Trump's tax, you know, 2017 act provided. And, you know, you talk about being a drain on a fragile economic recovery, no doubt it would make the U.S. A less attractive place for businesses to relocate or to locate here in the U.S. And, of course, Trump, or Biden rather, doesn't agree with that. Basically, he thinks the business community, as well as the upper income folks, will be glad, I suppose, to pay for that infrastructure or the tax or whatever you want to call it. But personally, you know, when you think about debt, and if again, go look at the truthinaccounting.org site if you want to have some idea of just how monumental the debt is now. And I understand that's not necessarily the same debt, but it is a competing type of debt for the T-bills that we sell. And, you know, it's definitely a drain on the economy. You know, the other adjustments that are out there are all personal related. I've often thought the internet will be one. That'll be next. Hopefully the retirement funds don't get Keating hit. That's a large amount of money that Congress kind of always thinks is theirs. Anyway, I enjoyed doing the show this week. Again, look forward to next week. If you have questions, email me, Nathan@npross.com, and I'll be happy to bring them up next week. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan P. Ross, CPA.
Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of
the Be a Planner Show
right here on AM 700 KSEV.